is a life-changing message by the Reverend Sam Crunchy Ankara.
Ephesians 4:11. When you need help and help is not coming, it is the worst thing that I pray that you should not go through. You are clever. You know you are clever. You can go to university, but somebody to just push you. This story I'm going to share is very pathetic. Our church in Maryland, the protocol officer who drives Mama Rita and I when we go there, holds 2 master's degree in public administration and environmental studies and works in a big company in America, has money. The village where he attended school in the Bronx Hafo region, where his father is a farmer, in his class, he and one boy top the class from class 1 to till they finish from 4. According to him, he never was able to beat the boy in mathematics, and the boy was never able to beat him in English. Those were the only 2 subjects that one had mastery. The boy was mathematically sharp. Geography, history, and other subjects, they were interchanged. By the time they were total, the boy was first, he would be second. Sometimes he would be first, the boy was second. They finished from 4. And his father went and borrowed money and said, "This is my son, you are very good. Whatever I will do to take you to secondary school, I will do." So the father tried and put the boy to Doma and Hinkro Secondary School in the Bronx Hafo region. Naturally, the boy was clever. So O levels, he had grade 1. And then went to sixth form. Sixth form, he came to sixth form at one of the Kumasi schools. From there to University of Science and Technology, where he read a degree in the land economy. From there, he went to Botswana, where he went to do masters in environmental studies. He worked in Botswana. He went to America, went and did masters in public administration. In the class, his professors love him because the guy is so sharp. He has been away in America for about 7 years. One day, he decided to visit his parents, who are still in the Bronx Hafo region. When he went to look for his classmate, who used to beat him in mathematics. When he went, his classmate had aged, married 3 women with 9 children, sitting around pito, palm wine, and drinking. His lips red, disfigured. When he saw him, he said, "Wow, why? The difference, the environment." This boy's father moved this boy away from the village environment and checked him into a secondary school. That changed his course. This boy didn't have anybody to help him. So after from 4, had to help his father doing farming. And you know, young boys, when you enter them into farming, it's so frustrating to see his classmates go to secondary school, come on holidays, go. So finally he rebelled. Started drinking, chasing women, because that was what gave him satisfaction. So raised the children here, raised children there, raised children here, 3 women, 9 children, at age of less than about 38. Here is a professor in the making. Here is a lawyer or a doctor. All he needed was just secondary school. And once you go to secondary school, there's competition there. So ask for grade 1 automatic. After getting your grade 1, 6th form, you don't go ask for 6th form. 6th form, they'll write to you in those days. When you finish 6th form, you don't need to go to any university asking for admission. You'll be there and you'll be told that your name is on the list at one of the universities. We lost it. We lost the ball. He's now an alcoholic guy. Village champion. And that is why I take Ephesians 4:11 very seriously. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Those people are not angels over there. There are human beings that God raises and he gave. Whatever you have has been given to you. Tell me how much money you came into this world with. Show me which husband you came into this world with, which wife, which child. Show me which car. Show me which house. Everything you have was given to you. He gave some. Why? Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ. The word equipping for the saints, for training and raising leaders. That is the responsibility of every man of God. If I have raised you, you to raise others. If I am mentoring you, you to mentor others, equip others, train others. Why? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. But you like verse 13 also. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of faith. That word faith there means maturity. Till we all come to the level of maturity and in the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of fullness of Christ. That measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, don't spiritualize it. Don't spiritualize it. Till we raise them to the status of Christ. Christ was not a poor man. He was not a useless man. He fulfilled his years. He was given a name far above every name. He was honored, highly elevated. My responsibility is to pick those poor child there, those poor children over there, raise them to the stature of Christ. That's my duty as an apostle, as a prophet, as a pastor, as a teacher. What do you do? Teach them, coach them, give them the chance to operate, to serve. That's your duty. That's your duty. That's the duty of every pastor. Show me. Since we made you pastor, show me how many leaders you have raised there. Yes, he gave. Whatever you have was given to you. And the purpose is to be able to raise others. Somebody says, but pastor, this one is called the fivefold ministry, or otherwise also known as the five offices of ministry. And this one usually is for full-timers. You can't become an apostle. An apostle, you have churches. You see somebody passing in one church, he said, I'm bishop. What? How dare you? Bishop is an overseer of churches, not church. You can't be pastoring one church and say you are general overseer. You are overseer of churches. Train, equip, prepare them for the work of ministry to serve. That's fivefold ministry for people on full time. But find out whether you also find your place in the set of giftings which Paul calls spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Here comes another set of gifts. Now concerning the spiritual gift, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And then jump to verse 6. And then it tells you, some have the gift of the word of knowledge, some have the word of wisdom, and some have the gift of prophecy, and some interpretation of tongues and diverse tongues, and some the gift of faith, and the gift of healings, and the gift of miracles. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So when God gives the spiritual gift, it is not to make the person feel big, tall, important, that after him, nobody else. It is to profit all, to serve all, make yourself available. That was what I said. You must lie down. If you're able to lie down here with your coat, then you can come down so much that God can use you under any circumstance, whether you become big or small. To profit, to benefit, to profit, to benefit. Any gift that therefore does not benefit the body and benefit others is no gift. Any wealth and riches which will not benefit others is no wealth. Any knowledge that does not benefit others is no knowledge. Come on, show me how many people you have affected, how many people you have changed. Show me. Even the maid servant in your house, you will not be able to transform her life. Even that maid servant in your house. Even that maid servant in your house. But here is another set of gifts. Verse 8. Those miracle seekers. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And then the other one, verse 9, to another by faith, the same spirit, to another giftings of healings by the same spirit. Now, we call those ones the power gifts, and then the gifts of the tongue, and so on. Now, here we go. Word of wisdom. There comes a time when in your life you are caught in two crossroads. Should I go to the left or I should go to the right? When you come to that place, know that God has gifted people in the church with wisdom and with experience. What is crossroads to you, which is a difficulty, somebody has crossed that path before. All you need to do is to seek counsel. For in the multitude of counseling is safety. And every counselor is gifted with the gift of wisdom. So you go there, he says, do it this way, do it this way, do it that way. Just take it as God's word. You have it. You break through. Ah, here comes another word of wisdom. The word of wisdom, the person looks into your eyes, and the man of God, and he says, ah, your mind is double. You feel like living the assignment God has given to you, and you want to go, but that saith the Spirit of the Lord, don't go. Because that which is driving you away, if you overlook it, that person will not be there tomorrow. For the person has just seen your future, what you are going to become. So they are just saying, you know, you haven't talked to the person. But the person just says what is on your mind and what is on God's mind for you. We call it word of wisdom. To be able to read your intentions and know what you are going through and give you counsel and direction. And then here comes the word of knowledge, which many people say prophecy. The ones that you've been seeing on television. Word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is the one that now looks at your background, your past. Things are happening. You don't know why they are happening. Difficult things. And so the Spirit of God comes upon the person and says, ah, what you are going through, your great-great-grandmother went through the same. Do you know that your great-grandmother divorced 3 times at the age of 30, 43, and then 44? You see, at the age of 30, 43, you can see that there are problems coming in the same way. Now, this is what you have to do. Word of knowledge is the one that calls the past of what has happened. Now, you watch television and you see this. Japan. Now, me tea a dimbi, a friend of Oko, or your wife, or your boyfriend, or Hifa, or Japan, Mumpon, some of Jesus Christ. What will me da, Debbie? Macho, what shall me da, Debbie? Why me reduce? Why me reduce? Me reduce, me auntie. Bonsama Yesu. Me who say, some me reduce no. All the people are pity from say, who be tiaswa, who be bubu. Now say, so to me feel say, who come pastor. Only a bonsama Yesu Christu. The gift of prophecy. Now here comes the true prophet. A prophet is the one that looks into your face and begins to speak into your future. I see that your marriage has delayed because there is this thing that is fighting your marriage because they know what your marriage is going to produce. And it's an attempt by the devil to cause a delay so that you'll be so frustrated that the right person wants to marry you will look at your face and say you are not serious. But the Lord has broken through. The Lord says the woman who is in your life right now is the right choice for you. And that you should concentrate. As a matter of fact, I begin to hear the Lord say within 3 months, you must make the move and make sure that the engagement process starts. For the marriage must never buy the next birthday of the Apostle General. Make sure that the marriage is done over there. Now, that's a prophet who is now speaking into your life and speaking into your future. And they are laughing. They don't know that this one is a prophecy. Amen. You and your fiancé, which month were you born in? She's October, she's November. Make sure that in October, something is done. And before your next birthday, this matter is settled. This matter must be settled. In fact, what I heard was the birthday of the Apostle General. So make sure that around February something happens. And I'm believing God that your firstborn will be born in February. Somebody clap your hands and say, I receive it. That's a prophet speaking into your future, giving you declarations and times when the things will happen. If you see me and you give me word of knowledge, your name is Reverend Sam Kranchankra, so what? You are born number 22 of 24 children. Is that correct? I say yes. Your house, see a lot of struggles and poverty. Yes. If you tell me this, which I know already, you have told me nothing. Tell me how I can break the poverty in my house and give me times and seasons so that by that I can use to test your prophetic anointing. The gift of faith. The gift of faith. Do you know these days there is no gift of faith anymore? The faith we are talking about is not the faith for salvation and the faith, the kind of faith that you have believing God for $10, £25 visa. No, no, no. The gift of faith is that terrible one that says no to circumstances. And when you're operating that gift, you should be ready to be called a crazy person. No, but these days, everybody wants to save his skin. Nobody wants to go into the bad books of anybody. So the gift of faith is not working anymore. The gift of healing. What can the church do without healing? When you have gone to hospital and the doctor say, we have done tests upon tests, we don't know what is wrong with you, but you can literally feel that you are dying. The gift of healing must not come into play. The gift of miracles. The guy who is supervising our church in New York, we are in Bronx. The other city in New York is called Manhattan. Where Manhattan? Is it Queens? I think Queens. It's a doctor and his wife. The wife came to church and came to the altar to bring a sacrifice. When she was going, I called her. I said, "Come, you came here, you are looking for something. But the Lord said what you are looking for is already settled. Rather, he is giving you something that you are not expecting." She looked into my face. She had come here, her mother was sick at Kolebu at the point of death. So she had come here seeking healing for the mother. So now when God says what you are looking for is settled, but God is bringing something else. By the time she left here and got to Kolebu, her mother had passed away. As she stood there, confused, she said, "Lord, so what is this thing that you say is coming? If I went there for the healing of my mother, the doctor who took care of the mother before she died comes and says, 'Young girl, don't worry. Your mother needs to go home because she was suffering.' She became friends with the doctor. Today, the doctor is her husband." She came here for healing. God gave her a husband. Clap your hands and say, "I'm receiving a miracle." Clap your hands and say, "I'm receiving a miracle." Clap your hands and say, "I'm receiving a miracle." Ah, here is the last set of giftings where you come in now. This one is Romans chapter 12. This one is Romans chapter 12. The last set of giftings. Romans chapter 12. Now, this gifting is called service gift. It's not for full-timers, but it's for everybody in the church to affect somebody, to change somebody, to touch somebody. He gave so that we will equip and raise people to the stature. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 6. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy." This one is not fivefold ministry, but this is called exhortational prophecy, which everybody here, you can prophesy and exhort somebody and lift somebody up. He gave to affect, to touch. And now he says, "Let us prophesy in proportion of our faith." Verse number 7. Or if ministry, let us use them. And I like the word, use them. Use them. The word ministry there, if it's service, service. And this one refers to ushering, protocol, sweeping, cleaning the church. It's a gift. Stop laughing at those who are doing this ministry. It's a gift of the Holy Ghost. And he who teaches, let him teach. Sunday school teacher, foundation school teacher. You are a teacher here. That's a gift of God. Verse 8. He who exhorts, let him exhort. The word exhortation there, other versions say he who encourages. There are some people, when you are in need and you are in trouble and you go to them, the words that will come out of your mouth, by the time you are leaving their presence, you are fully exhorted and lifted and you are encouraged. Some people too, when you have a problem and you go and share it with them, by the time you leave their presence, your spirit is down. Beware of those people. Don't go near them. They don't have the gift of encouragement and exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads, he must lead with diligence. He who shows mercy, he must do it with cheerfulness. Now, I brought the New International Standard Bible because I like the way it presents it so beautifully. And I wanted to just listen to this one. God has given each of us ability to do certain things well. Now, if you want to know what your calling, where your calling lies, find out what is it that you do and do it well. You can make money out of it. You are struggling just doing things that you have never been called to do because you don't even know what you do and do it well. Do you know that if you like cooking, God is calling you into restaurants? Do you know that? Do you know that if you're a very good cook, you can easily make money like Odor Rice and like any of these local restaurants in town? Do you know that if you have a child who loves talking, you should not be shutting him down or her down? You talk too much. Keep quiet. You must encourage him or her because she's going to become a lawyer or a preacher. Do you know that? You know that? Whatever you do and you do it well, it's your calling. Now he says, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out. When you have faith that God is speaking through you, if your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. When I saw this, I said, wow, the office of armor bearer, you have been called to serve the apostle general, your bishop and your pastor. Please do it well. And let those people who just talk about it, don't know what they are talking about. You've been doing this work in the last 15 years and you have gone to UK 3 times. Where have they gone? Those who are talking about you. This armor bearer 7 has taken you to UK and back. Through this service, you've got a wife. Show me those who are talking about you what they have got. Clap your hands and shame the devil in the house. Clap your hands and give me a shout and let your eyes open. Clap your hands and say, I am not ashamed. Shout it again and say, I'm not ashamed of the callings and the giftings of the Lord upon my life. Hallelujah. You don't become a reverend minister to be preaching by all means. No. We need some reverend ministers who will be in charge of account. Reverend ministers who will be in charge of administration. Reverend ministers who will be in charge of choir. Reverend ministers who will be in charge of the estate. Reverend ministers. Yeah. Who said that you are only supposed to be preaching? Don't mind those who say you must preach for us to notice you. Protocol, we can notice you and make you a reverend. And you know where you do so well and we will put you there. It's a gift. Hit your chest and say, I'm not ashamed. So if you've been called to serve others, serve. You are a maid servant with somebody, serve. You work at a Ebenezer Chemist as a front desk, serve. You've been called to serve, serve. All of you cannot be pharmacists in that shop. There must be one pharmacist and the others must prescribe the drugs and others must count the money and others must sweep the place. Serve is a gift. The next one. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If your gift is to encourage others, do it. If you have money, share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Today, I have identified some young boys and girls. By the giftings of God and the position that He has given to me to preside over money, and I know that I must release some money and to change their future for good. If these children go on their knees and they pray for me, can you imagine how much God will hear? Don't be like Jesse, the father of David. Don't be like Saul, the king of Israel. Don't be like Joab, the commander of the army of Israel. And for heaven's sake, don't be like David's brothers. What did they do? David had gone for the war and had gone to kill Goliath and had brought Goliath's head. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 54. And then King Saul then asked Joab, who was sitting by him, the commander of the army, and said, Joab, who is this young man who is fighting for Israel? Joab opened his mouth and said, King, I swear, as long as you live, I don't know him. What? The one fighting for you in your army, you don't know him? And then Saul said, go and inquire of him. Hey, somebody you are not known, but somebody will be inquiring of you. The reason why nobody has asked of you is that your time has not come. But that which will make them inquire of you, which is Goliath's head, is coming into your hand. I said, somebody, you are coming before the king, and the Lord is bringing you from your hiding place. Receive this prophecy. When David appeared, he had in his hand Goliath's head. Hey. Whose son are you? I'm the son of Jesse, one of the least families in Israel. From today, you are serving in my army. You live in my house. They have changed this place from the desert to the king's palace because of the gift of God. And look at Jesse, David's father. When Samuel came to anoint, he left out David. He didn't even know that there is a king in his house. He left him. But anybody who has not been introduced, I know Holy Ghost is about to introduce you. Don't you worry that they never mention your name for pastor or for deacon. Your time is coming. And when your time comes, there will be a difference and there will be a change. Who is this person I am talking to here? Brothers who looked at David and said, what are you here to do? Are you here to fight? Look at you. Who trained you? Who made you a soldier? You think we are doing children's play over there? Bring the bread and go home. And the person that they rejected was the person who took away their shame and their reproach and brought victory to Israel. You may not know who is sitting by you. So therefore, he gave some. Give out what God has given to you. For what you have was given to you by God. When you have the opportunity, please do somebody good. Because you may not know what the person's tomorrow is like. That's why I am doing what I am doing. Because one day, I don't know which hospital I will be hospitalized. And I don't know whether one of these will be the doctor that will be taking care of me. Are you clapping for Jesus in this place? Are you giving the glory to Jesus in this place? Are you giving him some praise in this place? Give attention to people. Help people. Please. He who has money, let him share his money. Give. And let's help these people. Ago, I was finishing my series with one of their branches. My message was yada. Yada is the Hebrew word for no. Jacob was blessing Ephraim. And then Joseph was fighting the blessing. Not so, my father. Not so. This one is not the firstborn. You must not bless him. Manasseh is the firstborn. And then Jacob replied, I know it, my son, I know it. Now the word I know in the Hebrew word is yada, which means to recognize beyond the flesh. To recognize beyond the human levels, to go into somebody's future and to be able to see the person's future from today. Even though the person may be wretched, may be poor, may be a struggler. And the reason why I'm helping these people, I'm helping them so that tomorrow they will help others. For everybody who is born into this world, you were born to help, to touch people, to give what God has given to you. So Jacob said, I have seen the future of Ephraim. I've gone beyond the flesh and the natural. The guy will be greater than his brother. And I am blessing him. Joseph, will you allow me to bless him with the right hand? Because I have seen. I have recognized. Why are you in ministry? Why is he coming back? Is he coming back because of the finance and the name and the exhortation and the clamor? And the cars and the crowd and the money? And a big suit. Is that why? Why do you want to enter into politics? Why are you asking God to give you money? What for? What do you want to do with it? What do you want to do with the position of a pastor? What do you want to do with this ordination? You need to search your heart and find out whether you are genuine and you are sincere with God. For I have come to realize that God will never honor any wrong agenda. He will never. He will search your heart and find out whether you are a genuine man of God. Whether you want to serve people and equip people and train them and glorify God. Then God will bless you. But if it is because you want people to know you, hey, please. When God gives you the gift and you don't humble yourself. Now, let me close with Romans 12:3. 12:3 there. For I say unto you through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt each one with a measure of faith. He's talking about the giftings. Know that the source of your gift is God. The source of your money is God. The source of the grace upon you is God. So don't think that when you have the money or you have the grace and the gifting, then you are more powerful and more important than everybody. No, no, no. Think about where God picked you from. Think about when you were nobody. And let that always humble you to serve. To serve. To serve. The way up is the way through service. That's all I can say to you today. Trust God that the things that I have said has gone into you. You will know that you have been called to serve and to touch and to affect people. It is the grace of God. Whatever you have was given to you by God. And so therefore use it to serve mankind. And the name of our Lord will be glorified. Thank you so much for giving me audience. God bless you.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world.
It is our fervent prayer that this message will have an effect on your life and will lift you to the place where you belong. Royal House Chapel International, touching our generation with the power of God. God richly bless you.